With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 17 of the Empire Realms podcast. My name is Paul Mann and I will be hosting the show. And today I am joined by the remarkable Neil, Mr. Bobbins. How are you?
I shudder to think I'm remarkable, but...
Yeah, well, you know...
Thanks for the intro,
I've got to big you up, haven't you, hasn't I?
No one else will.
No, exactly.
And rightly so.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, you said it. So let's move on then. In the last few days, we've had a few games with... not great results, basically. The Wolves game, I wasn't at. We obviously, last night, we had the Bolton match, which we got a draw. So let's first go to the Wolves match. What did you think of that, Neil? You were at the game.
That was tough for many reasons, really. Obviously, Wolves spent a load of money, good manager. We expected them to attack us, and they did. I think the thing that came out of that was we got a long way to go in terms of organisation and general confidence in the squad. The way we performed was okay. We had a few chances, but it didn't really underline us as having any kind of, you know, real quality about us. Wolves showed what a quality side is in this division, and they're probably, you know, up there with amongst the best sides that we've had in the last two or three seasons.
Yeah, I think quite a few alone, fans have said that.
Let alone the home games we've seen this season. They are very, very good. Everyone knows what their roles are. Everyone knows what they're capable of. The manager drills them well. And they caused us troubles from the off.
Yeah.
We did have, you know, Swift hit the post in the first minute and that could have changed everything. But we never really looked like the home side. We looked like the away side.
Yeah. So I haven't seen the Swift one. Was it a one when he should have scored or was it...
No, he took a punt from 20, 25 yards out and hit the post. Yeah. Skidded, hit, you know, went above Ruddy. And if it went in, who knows where it would have taken us. But an awful lot of those things were who knows what would happen if X, Y, and Z happened. But none of it did. And we've got to look at it like that. Because Wolves had chances too, they could have scored another couple. So you can look at it philosophically, but hand on heart, I thought we were played off the park for a lot of the game.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I mean, you're obviously at the match. I've seen the goals back, and defensively it looks poor for, I'd say, both of them, really, but especially the first one.
Yeah.
The second one, the last minute of the game, you've been chasing the game, you're more likely to make a mistake, fatigue.
Yeah, exactly.
But we did have chances, were you talking about Ruddy as well? And if that chance, when it rebounds off Barrow, like Swift, and it goes in, sometimes you need that bit of luck to change a whole season almost. Because if we had managed to beat Wolves, which you clearly didn't, you think, wow, that's a big win.
Yeah. I think, you know, obviously 3 points at home is what you're looking for at all times. But I think it's just, for me, the manner of how we lost it.
Mm.
The way we performed compared to Wolves. If you disregard the goals and you see how they were set up compared to how we were set up, we still look as if we're kind of guessing how to break teams down, what our midfield shape is supposed to be like. And I think a lot of that is to do the way the personnel changes all the time. You know, Bakunin was right back against Wolves, back in midfield against Bolton, and, you know, gone to swapping flanks again back to where he should be. It's that kind of stuff where Wolves, you know, aren't going to have players that can be playing way out of position. It's not going to happen. They know who's going to play in those various positions, and that's set. Whereas we're more fluid for, you know, a whole number of reasons, really. And it's doing us a detriment, really. And we don't know how good we really are because I think all this tinkering.
No, we don't. And if you look at the games, though, where we are, I have one thing I will definitely take a positive. One player who seems to really come back from his injury in very, very good form is Barrow. He seems to be having an impact in most games. Maybe not the one on Saturday that you saw, but again last night, he's involved with both the goals. Against Derby, he was involved with a lot of good play. He seems to be having that impact against Leeds. He's scored the goal.
Mm. The thing is, he's a set-up guy, isn't he?
Yeah, yes, definitely.
He
yeah.
can finish. We know we've seen him score the odd tap-in and things like that. But he's the set-up guy, and he's the set-up guy for nobody at the moment.
Yeah, that is a problem.
As we'll go on and we'll talk about the further issues that we've no doubt got, that's our problem. We can set all these chances up, but... Who's there?
Nobody for a multitude of reasons, isn't there? Injuries, lack of form, but basically injuries really yet again. As we move on to the Bolton match, disastrous defending for the two goals. Absolutely horrible. I mean, it's basic stuff, just picking up them. And I know he gets a lot of sport, and I don't doubt his desire to do well in games, but the amount of times that Gunter gets caught out on these crosses and is the man who you think, if only he picks them up, he might not score. He might score, but he never seems to be actually that near to the player.
I was going to say that very point, in that I don't know if it's a trait of certainly when he's in the fullback position, but he's never that tight to his man.
No.
And certainly when he's in the box and he should be being a lot more physical than he actually is, to at least prevent the player getting from the ball, let alone getting on target and getting it in the net. You know, there's so many steps beforehand that you're going to think that could be nullified, but it doesn't seem to be. And it's always, you know, a lot of us can look back over videos and you can see that it's like, yep, Gunter didn't jump there, Gunter wasn't close enough. And it seems like we're slating the guy because he hasn't got an awful lot of detractors, and that's probably one of the reasons why. I mean, you think for a defender who can play in central defence as well, we've seen that plenty of times, he just isn't physical enough at set pieces. And at set pieces, we know we're vulnerable, but it just never seems to be ironed out.
No, well, the opposition seemed to pick him out.
Oh, yeah.
The first goal last night was slightly lucky because it could have gone anywhere else, but the second one, he's been picked out.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it and you look at the point where Prattley headers the ball, there's literally no one around him.
Well, it's all been appealing
moved out. Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea.
But he seems to be like 6 feet away from him by that point. And you think, well, where was the foul then? Unless he was. Obviously, we can't see from the clip of what happened beforehand, but. Yeah, at least be physical, at least try and prevent the guy from getting the header. And to get anything in a 6-yard box against you to go in like that, it's just schoolboy stuff.
And this is a trait of the whole team. We've seen these goals all season. We saw this against Norwich for the second goal. Mm. We saw Tyler Blackett lose his Cameron Jerome. He had hold of him. He's holding him, and then Jerome just moves away from him. He has a completely free header from a corner.
Yeah.
And then we saw this in the Middlesbrough match when... Who was it who scored their second goal? It was the ex-Forest player, wasn't it? Samba Bungla, wasn't it?
Yeah.
However you say his name.
Samba Bungla.
And you see, he came straight in between McShane and Gunter. I don't think Gunter was actually to blame for that goal. I think that was actually McShane.
Yes.
But you see this all the time. It's a real issue. But the one... if you can take a positive out of being absolutely crap in the first half, which... They were, considering in the first half we had 84% possession and we were 2-0 down at one point.
Mm.
That just shows you how little of the ball you need to score against us. This was similar to last season.
But it's the opposition plan, is it? They know we're going to be vulnerable at set pieces. And we've been vulnerable for years. It's
vulnerable all over the place. Counter-attack, basically. Well, absolutely.
But we know as soon as we get a corner or a free kick against us, they ping it in the right area. As a championship level, you really should do if you can beat the first man. Then, you know, we're in trouble, and it happens so often these days that you do wonder, you know, how many times do they do this in training?
Mm.
What do they try, and what is their setup in defence? And how do they think they can eradicate these things? Because we're not seeing any improvement in that regard at all, I don't think. It just doesn't seem to happen that we can parry these attacks or even stop silly free kicks in the first place at the edge of the box. These kind of things you kind of should be drilled into the players at this level, but we can't seem to do it.
I think the whole crowd is nervous whenever we concede a free kick now, and basically when the opposition get near our goal. Everyone's always slightly nervous that when you're supporting a team. It doesn't matter who you're playing against, really, within reason. Because you just, you know, you just fear a stupid goal that will happen against us. But the problem is that that must be in the players' brains as well. And then if you become slightly hesitant for 1 second, that just costs you. And we just look so... We look kind of like statues when we're defending, as if we know where we should be. We should be in this position, and we're moving there, and we're there, and then we're thinking, what do we do next? We aren't playing naturally.
Yeah, and I think that it's that word naturally that you can apply to an awful lot of the way we play. It doesn't see it. It seems to be they need to play the ball into certain areas or stop the ball going into certain areas, but the way they do it isn't fluid. It always seems to be like, right, the boss has told me I need to do this, or they're trying to do that, so they'll try and achieve whatever goal that they're trying to do, but they do the simple option instead, which is to either try and mark space, which is never going to work, or they'll just pass the ball to the nearest player, not thinking two or three moves ahead of what we're actually trying to achieve on a counter or to stop the free kick or corner from ending up in disaster.
No. It's a real problem. Bursley is saying we've managed to find a minor positive. I suppose you could say it is a fairly good positive, because we could have easily crumbled there. I know Bolton aren't great, but they haven't also been in a terrible run. They've drawn a lot of games. They beat Norwich recently. They got a draw at Preston. I mean, our results at Preston are never great. So,
no.
So on that thing, it's a positive that we came back to get a 2-2. That's the only positive I can take from that match.
Yeah.
But how it's we really did it, grabbing at straws, yeah, isn't it?
How feels we did like... it, I don't really know. Apart from the fact that Bolton did let us have an awful lot of possession.
And we actually did something.
We did something with it. I mean, the penalty was a Stonewall penalty. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes,
for once, definitely. It was a proper...
And we scored. No rebounds.
Yeah.
Well, this was a miracle.
This is the Bakuna factor, isn't it?
Yes.
He is decent from the penalty spot. We haven't had a problem with him from the penalty spot so far.
No.
Albeit we haven't scored as many penalties as we did last season by an awful long way compared to... the mishaps and misfortunes of the penalty spot last
year. That was an interesting era last year. Maybe that summed up a whole season. But so I asked the question last night on the EPR3, do you still think that Sam is the right man going forward? Well, I just added that bit anyway, but you know what I mean. We've had a few replies from Nick Gregory saying, very much Sam in, just wish he'd learn from his mistakes, don't we all, Nick? Sean Musby, yes, I think maybe, but how many times does he need to show we're far better with a recognised striker on the pitch? Problem is, I think last night, I mean, sounds like Jan was definitely injured.
Yeah, sure.
Surely he'd be involved if he was fit.
It's very similar to last season, where players we knew they were injured and there was rumours of them coming back, and they didn't. They spent another couple of weeks on the sidelines and then reappeared, which is fine. There's not a problem with that, generally speaking. But this season, we've had so many injuries that when players are coming back, are they being rushed back a little bit sooner because we haven't got that depth? I don't know. Swift, when he came back, he hit the ground running and did very well. And now he's out again. I don't think we know at this point what the...
I think it was a hamstring I heard, but I don't know.
Which is what you went out with before.
Yeah.
It could
be
entirely precautionary, but...
It didn't sound
look great. Didn't look great.
No.
It just doesn't help. I mean, injuries are never a great thing. But
I don't think he could play a striker last night, because Bovarsson was... No, from after what he said after the game, Stan, that he trained once in 6 weeks, was it?
Is that right?
One full day. So you can't really be playing a player when he's your only one. You've got to kind of look after him slightly, haven't you?
Which is
when you're down to your fourth option, which he basically was.
I can see all the issues that you lay out there with the strikers. We've got Jan, who's either being nursed or is injured again. Bod Varson's coming back and barely trained, as you say. Smith's injured, even though he had, pretty encouraging start without looking too threatening, but that's being a bit harsh on the lad. And then Loader, who's come back from the World Cup, highly successful, but how much integration has he had into the squad? Probably not that much.
And Danny Loader, he did two scored two goals at the World Cup, which is great. Mm. And obviously, we hope he does become a good player. But actually, Brewster played, started all the matches. Yeah. Scored virtually all the goals otherwise.
Yeah.
Not all the goals.
But I only named the four because that's the only four that we've...
What I'm saying is he's been hyped up quite a lot.
Too much, probably.
It's a bit like the goalie who went to, was it under-19s or under-20s? And he didn't even play a minute. Mm. Now he's a World Cup winner. Now he's great because he's associated with it. I hope he does well, but you're like, you can't really say he had that much to do with that, really.
No, and that level of football and Championship football is a totally different beast.
Totally. It's a different world. Yeah.
As we've seen when Loders appeared, I think, in the Carabao Cup, he didn't look like a world beater that everyone thinks he
didn't.
Could be.
He came on and I don't really remember anything he did.
No.
But that doesn't mean he's a bad player, though.
No. It's, you've got to expect these things of the kids. They mentally, they're going to take an awful long time to get into these things because it is so new and compared to what they normally play at.
Definitely. So moving on to Rendeep. Yes, we should keep him. He's got 2 years left and we should honour that. A player final has earned him the right to a mid-table season. What do we think on that one? I mean, I think the player final... That becomes less and less of the argument, doesn't it? Because now we're so far into the season, it's a different world almost.
It does, and these days you're not really judged too much on what your past histories are. You're judged on your last 8 games, and that's not Reading. That's football in
just
general.
Just everyone, yes.
You have a bad run, and unless you've got very, very decent players behind you, things like that are really hard to turn around. And at the moment, Stam hasn't got the tactics right, albeit the personnel is missing. But even when we do have some of the personnel back, like Swift and Jan, when he does achieve full fitness, it's a case of we're having to nurse those people because we haven't got anyone else. So it's a two-pronged thing. Is it the squad is too damaged and the depth is bad, and or Stam tactics are too negative, or that he's not training them correctly to stop the rot in defence. So a lot of these factors go against Yap. Is it Yap's fault?
This is what we're going to come on to, isn't it? We're just about to come on to that now. So the time has come to decide whether we think that Yap Stam should stay or go. I will set this up by saying where we are in the league and how many points clear we are in every situation. So we're 19th in the league. We've played 17 games and we are 5 points away from the relegation zone and we are 10 points away from the playoffs, and we all love the playoffs, but that is a spot that we look at, and we do have a game in hand, so theoretically we could be 7, but we could also not be 7. So I am just about clinging on to Stam staying, and that's just about. And Neil, your position is the opposite.
I think I'm just about the other way. Only because of timing, because if we're going to do anything, we got to do it soon before January comes. If we haven't done it by January, then it's Stam in, because there's no point. Nothing can be changed after January, albeit that's 2 whole months of football, and we could propel ourselves up or go down in 2 months. Everyone knows what we're up against. But I just think that he's... tactically now been found out, and because of the lack of depth that we've got in the striking department at very least, and the problems that we've found defensively, those things go against him. And I don't know, if you do change the manager, you say, okay, you've still got the same problems with injuries, you've still got the same problems with depth until January, and everyone knows we're going to need a striker or two in January. So
yeah.
The club could say, right, okay, we're going to back you. But all the selling clubs that are out there, they're going to go, well, we know you need one. And if it's a Championship team, they're going to go, no. Or they're going to say, well, if it is, then we're going to say, that's £8 million quid then.
Why would a player want to come to us if he's any good in our position? If we are still in 19th position in the Championship on January the 1st, who is going to want to come to us,
exactly.
who is actually going to be exactly. drastically improve us and be worth signing.
Either
the
they're
form.
You know, woefully unhappy where they are, they're not in the team, and they'll do anything to get a game. It's the only type of striker you're going to find. We're not going to get Oliveira.
No.
We're not going to get that calibre.
No.
And the only thing that you could get is a young Premiership striker that isn't getting any game time, and they do want to farm out. You know, a Chelsea-like player.
I suppose you could say that we could possibly... I mean, I'm not sure why he would come here, but the supposed bid that we put in for Hugo de Preston, that'll be 6 months, only 6 months left on his contract.
Yeah, that's the only other thing, isn't it? It's whether whether the club is willing to do it and the player wants to move in January.
He did put in a transfer request.
He did.
But whether that was because of us, nobody knows.
No, it could have been.
Could have been. Could have been, yeah. It could have been. So let's look at Yapstam. What do you think has changed from last season that's put us in this situation?
I think an awful lot of it is that we're not a surprise package anymore like we were last season. And I think our formation, our style, is pretty easy to counter. And Yap hasn't managed to find a different way to line us up that we're going to be more solid and still be potent that the opposition haven't a plan for. We're too similar in the way that we set up, so I think we're easy to pick off. And for the reasons that we've underlined already, set pieces, we're vulnerable at. So there's not many factors that Stam has changed, I don't think. Okay, they worked last season, but if they're not working now, then you've got to change something. And he had changed you know, a few bits and bobs, and we won at Leeds somehow. And we won against Forest, and that seemed to be pretty good, quite convincing. And you get these odd little results that come out of the blue, like Derby, and you kind of think, oh, something else is happening here. But then it just returns to type again. And Yap's got to work that out. That if certain things happen, he's got to change it. And the excuse of the injuries will start to wear thin, even though it's very reasonable. But some of it, like we said at the very start of the season, when we were talking about strikers and we were talking about the additions to the squad, how much of that is actually Stam's fault?
Well, yeah, that is another thing that we should come on to, because I'm going to also have a little bit of a chat about Mr. Teverton and see what we think of him.
Mm.
I think that the changes from last season are players that are either not here or injured. I think Danny Williams leaving had a far bigger impact than both of us probably realised.
Yeah.
Swift, at the start of last season, had a devastating start to the
Absolutely,
season.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that gave us the confidence to start off and believe that we could win matches after 2 years of basically losing most weeks. Just doing enough to stay up, and that was it. Jan was unbelievable form in the second half more than the first half, I would say, of the season. But he still did a job.
Mm.
And he managed to hold the ball up, play other players in a little bit. Yeah, no, that's actually not true. He did play other players in. That's one of his strong points. But I think if you look at what has changed from last season in a negative as well, is that other players are not playing as well as they did last season.
Mm.
And I think if you look at players like Paul McShane, they're not the player that they
Definitely.
Were last season.
Definitely.
I would say Gunter isn't playing quite as well as he did last season. We're also missing Jordan Obita. Well, that's a key player. And that's unsettled the team so much.
Yeah,
and that
definitely.
Could go back to the signing situation.
The whole left-hand side, really.
Yes. I think that Alhabsi... I think Alhabsi has been replaced okay
with
Mannone. I don't feel that's... I'd say Mannone's actually slightly better, personally. But that's
I agree with that.
That's just my preference for the people prefer. Because he was an incredibly nice bloke as well. So you've got to take that in factor. Not that Vito's a bad person. But I just think that certain players like Liam Kelly aren't performing at the level that they are. And I think the players that he's brought in, Aluka, didn't have that immediate impact that he was hoping for. And Barrow came in. He did quite well. Then he got injured.
Yeah.
Jan got injured, even before the season starts.
Mm.
But the problem is, we haven't found another way to play without these players.
Yeah.
And I think some of that goes back to the transfer situation, which we'll go on to, which he can't affect, which I agree with. That's not his fault. People saying that, oh, he didn't sign a striker. Well, I think he probably wanted to do, but...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We signed Bob Varsin, and then he never played.
We signed him early as well. We didn't sign him as a last-minute job in the window. That was early on.
Yeah.
And again, you know, he's been injured a couple of times already in his time being here, and both of those haven't been knocks. They've been you know, a good few weeks, which is going to, you know, hamper your progression and, you know, and... bedding into the team.
Yeah.
But as you say, if you buy a striker, then you'd like to play him. We would. But we've seen...
You can't get any continuity in any situation, can we? There's no flow to the team. Now, you could say some of that is definitely down to his tinkering.
Mm.
But if you never have a striker that you can pick, not even one of two, you know, one of them's injured and the other one comes in, we're changing. We've had four... You could say we've had five, six different strikers this season.
I mean, we've even played Peller up front.
That's what I mean. You could easily say, because I think it's sometimes... Even Behrens has been playing up front.
Oh, yeah.
Which is absolutely crazy. We've seen McCleary in that position.
Yeah.
We've seen Jan. Has Mendes played at all?
I don't think he has.
I can't remember him. No.
Yeah.
So maybe we could discount him, but we've seen Bovarsson, we've seen Jan, we've seen Smith, we've seen Behrens, we've seen Clement. There's probably others.
We've probably seen McShane. We've seen more up there, for sure.
He's not bad, actually. Yeah.
No, he's tidy. Yeah. I quite like
his last note showed. Yeah. He's better than Bovarsson.
Yeah. it is two-pronged, really. It's injuries and it's the lack of that consistency in many ways, I think. Consistency in the squad that leads to a performance. At the moment, you could say we're going to win and then you could say we're going to lose in the next game.
You just don't know. But we're letting so many stupid goals, and that has caused us problems all season, right from the beginning. Mm. We've done it all the way. With against Brentford, it was a stupid goal. Against Fulham, that Fulham game, I was talking to someone on Twitter about that today, as absolutely a massive game there. And if Van der Berg doesn't make that mistake, I think the confidence, you say, oh, we beat Fulham again, and everything's like it was slightly last season.
It's fine margins in this division. We know it is. It won't take too much for us to get some confidence back. Because as we saw against Wolves, we didn't look as if we thought we could match them mentally.
Okay.
And it's understandable. Yeah. They're top of the league side.
Yeah.
They've won away from home numerous times this season. And they've got players that they know can hurt the opposition. That's fine. But even though we've had very good results like Derby, it didn't seem to be kicking us on mentally. And I think there's a weakness there too.
Mm.
Last night, okay, they did pull it back from two goals down, but one of them was a set piece and the other one was a penalty. Did it actually show us that we played different football to achieve a different kind of result?
No, probably not. But it does show a side that a team doesn't give up. And I think that's an important element. When players, well, not players, fans will say, oh, the players are not playing for the manager. I don't think that's a case at the moment. I'm not saying that at all.
I think they can be confused by him.
Yeah, no, I think
that's... Because I think they can stand by what he wants to achieve and how he sets us up. But surely they would know themselves... When they look at the team sheet and they think who's in front of them that's going to score goals, they're going to go, yeah, but we've got a 5'7" striker, you know.
That must be deflating when you go out there.
Because
I know we won the game at Derby, we're playing with no strikers, but in the 7-8 previous games before when we hadn't had a striker on the pitch, we just looked horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. It was not enjoyable. Mm. You can win games playing like that, as that game showed. You can't do it every week.
No.
Teams will know how to play against us. And that isn't, just like you say, said earlier, that is a major factor in why we're not doing as well.
I think what surprises me a bit is if we know that we haven't got a central striker that we can rely on to be fit at the moment, why don't we set ourselves up to be more solid midfield?
Mm. Have we got those players, though?
Well, you can have Van der Berg and Bakuna.
Is Van der Berg solid?
No. He's more solid than Lynn Kelly would be.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, overall, when we set ourselves up to be harder to beat and then catch teams on the break a bit more.
Yeah, maybe. But I would say Lynn Kelly's less likely to make a mistake like Van der Berg, a killer one.
But I'm just thinking of options of what we don't do.
Yes.
And yeah. that's the type of thing that we don't do. As a lot of people have said, and one of your respondents on Twitter said, it's like, why doesn't Yap ever learn from any of the lessons that we get from defeats? And that is so true, because you look at the team, and it's like, okay, what's changed this week? And you go, okay, we're still playing with four at the back, a defensive midfielder, two kind of floaty midfielders, two wide, and Behrens. And that seems to be the thread of the last month, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think last night, you've got to say for some of these games, he hasn't had an option. But when he does it, when he has got an option, that's really infuriating.
I think a lot of people are suffering with the picking of Behrens at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. He seems to be the person who's getting all the stick at the moment. And there's certain players who aren't playing very well and they're getting away with it at the moment, I think, slightly.
Yeah.
I think that Behrens, he will never, ever make a tackle, Behrens. I mean, that's not... I've seen him maybe five in the time he's been here. Yeah. But he hates a tackle. But isn't that like every single player like him? Jimmy Kebbe didn't tackle for the first 2 years of being here.
But I think what people get frustrated with, and certainly I do, I'm not going to rule myself out of criticising Roy, is that you think, okay, you're running about a lot, there's a lot of effort, but there's not an end product. You're not putting balls in. He did lay on one that Barrow could have scored against Wolves. But generally speaking, you don't get that feeling, oh, Roy's going to beat the man, he's going to put in a good cross. Or if he has a free kick, it's going to get beyond the first man. You know he's there, you know he's buzzing around a bit, but he's not like Aluko and he's not like Barrow, where they've got a trick. They know they can beat a man, and something could happen out of nothing. And I think that's what people are getting frustrated with.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, we saw even towards the end of last season, I think Yap lost a bit of faith in Behrens. He wasn't playing so many games towards the end of the season as he was at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think with Behrens, I think his confidence just seems... He seems quite fragile. Quite fragile. Yeah. Remember a couple of periods last year when he went home for a week or so and during the season when there's actually games being played.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. I think maybe I've imagined that. I'm not quite sure. I remember Yap saying, because I remember after matches, say, oh, where's he gone? Because he was playing quite well at that point. Mm. And he'd actually gone home.
Yeah, okay.
I have no idea what's going on there, but it could be a very good reason that I have no idea about. But
obviously, one of the other reasons why he's playing so often is he doesn't get injured.
No, it's a great trade. I mean, Gareth McCleary is the person who seems to be injured all the time.
Carpet, but
he does, which is a shame, because I think Gareth, whatever you say about him, and I know he splits opinion now, McCleary, and people say, oh, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. But last season, he had his best ever season.
Hmm.
So you kind of think, well, I wouldn't mind that again, because he's not like Jan, who's 35, 36.
No.
He's still got some life in him.
Yeah.
But
you do think with Gareth whether there is an overriding problem that causes all these kind of muscular injuries, that this is often root causes for these things, and you think you find it in back problems that cause hamstring injuries and things like that. Is it compensation for other injuries? It could be a whole manner of things, really.
Does it all go back to when he broke his backbone?
Yeah, exactly. There could be a weakness there.
Could have caused an ongoing problem.
Physio, but who
knows?
It could be.
Yeah,
it could be.
It could be that. So but, hopefully not, for his sake, obviously.
Yeah.
But, so moving on, do you think that he can turn it around? Do you believe he can do it, or do you hope that he can do it?
I hope he can do it.
Yeah.
Because of the times, like I've said, if there's a way that you can kind of eke out a result by setting your team up in a certain way. But if you don't change that methodology, then the opposition is just going to go, it's the same as last week. We know how to play against this. We've scouted them enough. We've done our analysis. We know what you're going to do. So if you don't change it, even though if your personnel isn't there in terms of a striker, let's say, you should be able to at least try something different to see how the players perform in a different scenario, and that's not happening. And it's more a case of, I've only got one way, I'm persisting with it because I'm Yap Stam, and he does seem to be a very belligerent fellow.
Yes.
We all know that.
Yeah. I think I did see a slight change in the way that we played against Nottingham Forest. I think that that was far more pushing And we even saw pushing up the pitch and pressing much quicker as well. None of this kind of slow passing. And also we saw a counter-attack goal. Now, that is a minor miracle for Reading.
This is true. I missed that game. Typically, I missed that game.
But we seem to play that against Derby as well.
Yeah.
And the Wolves game is obviously going to be a spanner in the works. I think there's a bit of
fear there with this Wolves.
Yeah, that was always going to be tough. Mm. So, and we did have chances in that game. Mm. As bad as you say, we might have played in that. And maybe we didn't play as bad.
We didn't play bad.
Wolves actually just looked a lot better. Which seems to be a common theme every week with them at the moment. So, but I see a little bit, and I see with Aluku, and I see Barrow, and I see Bakuna. Now, I would actually put Bakuna at right back. I wouldn't play him in midfield because at right back, I think Chris Gunter, by some weird twist of fate, actually looks better at left back than he does right back. See, I have no idea how that works.
I disagree with that because I just think Bakuna is a midfielder. He's not right back. Against Wolves, and he was right in front of me for the entire first half, he looked bored out of his mind.
But was that just a bad game for him, though?
No. He just looked at his body language, and you could see that because he had McShane, obviously, alongside him as his nearest.
Is this a reflection of McShane's chat?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But the ball was going over Bakuna's head to McShane's area where Vinagrain, was it? Vinagrain? I can't remember his name. Anyway, he was pouring forward.
Something
like that.
Yeah.
And Bakuna just wasn't interested in going for it. He was going through the motions. And I can only put that down to him not really liking being at right back.
No.
I could be wrong. Could be completely wrong. No. But his body language to me just looked as if he didn't fancy it.
Okay. No, that's a problem.
Seeing the clips from last night, and I did kind of flick onto it a little bit. He looked much more mobile, much more happy to be in the centre of things. And that seems to be where I believe he's best.
Oh, I think he is best. I'd love to see him there in that position. But where we are at the moment...
Yeah.
But I think he will end up there because of now we've got an injury to Swift. I think it's inevitable he's going to play in central midfield.
Yeah.
But the problem is then we ended up who's going to play left back and who's going to play right back.
Mm.
Which just... I fear that we're going to see Blackett there now. Yeah. Who else could we play? I mean, we could play Omar Richards, couldn't we?
Yeah, no, that's the thing that upsets an awful lot of the fan base that we've read over the last couple of weeks, is that Richards has been on the bench since Derby after he had such a fantastic start.
Another criticism of Stanley doesn't play enough young players, which I think is it's a tough one. When your team finishes third last season, he clearly had something that was working for him. That's a fact. Yeah, so why would you throw in loads of young players? And he did play Liam Kelly for a lot of games and important games.
Yeah, and he's also made some odd decisions as well, where players have scored and then dropped the next game.
Yeah. Edwards scored, but I was saying the young players he played, Smith this season, admittedly, when only the no one else was left.
Yeah.
Only the cleaner. Yeah. But he's played him. So he does play some young players, but maybe he could play some more, considering he's a person who, when he came in, was saying, oh, I've come from the academy or whatever it was at Ajax, and I will bring through the young players, and that's important to me. But basically, that's what all managers say, isn't it? Now?
It is, and it goes back to the old cliche of it being a results business, and they'll choose players like Blackett because they think they could handle X game because of their experience rather than the rookie. But then again, you know, Blackett played against Bolton, not much pressure there, really. Richards played against Derby.
It's a tougher game.
If he can handle Derby, then why can't he handle Bolton?
I don't know. I would personally play him. I haven't seen... Did he play in the...
Yeah, he did play.
Yeah. Yes, he did. He looked Caravan. Okay, actually. He looked quite good.
Yeah.
I remember now. Yeah.
It's those kind of little anomalies that you kind of think, we know what's going to happen now. This is the 11 he's going to play, and he changes four positions. And you think, what for?
Yeah, no, I don't understand why. Yeah, I would play him, because to see Blackett at left back is just a horrible sight.
Or just square pegs in round holes, where you've got Gunter at right back, at left back when he should be right back, Bakuna at right back when he should be in centre midfield, and even we've had McShane playing right wing back, for goodness sake. It's like, don't you kind of write these things down and have a look at who's available and think, right, who's the best fit for these positions, rather than some kind of weird system just to fool the opposition, perhaps? Some of the decisions are just too baffling.
I fear that he's falling into this thing when a manager's under severe pressure, which I think he is in that category now, of wanting to put all your experienced players on the pitch and not risking any young players. I've seen this with Adkins. We saw this with McDermott. We're now seeing, I think, with Stam. I remember in McDermott's last game, he had a really bizarre lineup of players
with that just element.
Which he was desperate to get a result in that game because he knew at Blackburn. And he lost again, obviously. But I do remember it was all the experienced players when the younger players really should have played in that match.
Yeah.
But you see it with players, managers repeatedly. I think he's fallen into that. And he thinks if he plays Omar Richards and he has his mistake, Blackett, he feels more safe with him. Now, I don't think that's right at left back at all, because at left back, he's horrible.
Yeah.
And a centre back or of a three, it preferably a three, he's okay.
Yeah.
I think he gets a lot of stick. People saying he's one of the worst players to ever play for Reading. I don't agree with that. Long way. That's
we're
really
too long in the tooth for that.
Yeah. Well, even you can give examples even of last season when we saw Gravel Legs playing for us. If you think that he was not as good, you know, if you think that Blackett's worse than him.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think we have too many confidence players?
Confidence players, so you would put the wingers and midfielders probably into that.
It's just that mentally I think we've got quite a fragile squad. Do we have too many that can't ride out the losses and suffer with their form as a result? Because, like, you know, as an example, McCleary, I think, is a confidence player.
Yeah.
When things are going brilliantly, so is he, and vice versa. When things aren't going so well, disappears.
Yeah.
And I mean, that could be a team ethic.
Yeah, I could definitely see that in Swift.
I mean, I think, like, you know, Liam Moore can play consistently week in, week out, regardless of the results that have happened.
Yeah.
But other players that we've got, I'm not so sure that they can tough it out and go, right, roll the sleeves up, even though the sleeves are up, and then really push through a bad spell and kick us on. I don't think we've got that
time. Well, I'll quickly go through them. I think Mainoni, I don't think he's affected by anything, really.
No.
I think Gunter, I think he's okay. McShane, I think he's okay. Moore, I think he's okay. Left-back Blackett, I think he's a little bit... I think now he's had so many poor games, I think he is affected by it. Definitely.
Yeah.
Beerens, 100%. Swift, yes. Kelly, on this season's evidence, yes. Aluko, I think he's fine. I think he's a pretty solid professional. I think he'll carry on. Barrow, he seems to be okay, but then he hasn't really had a bad spell since he's been here.
No.
So we don't know. Jan, I don't think so, not really. I mean, he kept on playing in his first season whilst he was here, and he was not good.
Yeah.
And he came back. So, but even he said during that season, that was the point you brought up, even he said in the press that he was affected by the fact he wasn't playing well. He's a human being. Every player has confidence issues. If you know, going out there and you're not playing well. I'm trying to think through the other players that we've got. We've got so many. Bakuna, hard to say because he hasn't had a bad spell. Vandenberg, he seems pretty steady,
Yeah,
so I think actually, I think if you look at just the wingers, midfielders, those are the kind of players you'd say that about.
But I think that one of the main issues that we need to address is stability in that midfield area. Because we play different three almost every week. And I don't see how that's conducive to good results, because you need a spine. Everyone talks about a spine over the years.
There's no consistency.
And there's no consistency. Some of it we know is mitigated by the injuries, that's fine. But if we've got confidence players in the middle of midfield, and it switches all the time between one team or another, Pacuna's in there, Edwards is in or out, Kelly's been in or out, Swift has been in and out.
Yeah,
there's so many factors there, and I think that's a really important area that we just haven't got right.
Yeah, I might as well give a prize, actually, to anyone who can predict the starting 11.
and formation sometimes.
well, formation's a bit too far, I feel. Maybe blood groups as well, maybe.
Pushing it now, Paul. Pushing it now.
No, I think you just cannot predict the team at all. It's impossible. But I think now we should move on to Brian Teverton. What do we think of him? I mean, I asked the question earlier, and if I would have asked this question at this point last season, he would have got, well, he's actually my dad, probably.
It'd be universal joy.
joy.
He would have had the freedom of the fair town.
Yeah, well, the fair town, yeah. I mean, I still think he's doing a good job. I think he's... It's hard to... You can always judge these things because you don't know the funds they were given. And the argument they would be on the striker is, why did we sign Aluku when we could have spent that money on a striker? But the problem is then you have to have the correct amount of money. 7.5 million is a lot of money, but you've then got to have that player willing to come, and you've got to have the other team willing to sell.
Absolutely.
Now you could say we could have got Jordan Hugel instead for a bit more and not sign someone else. I don't know. It's all hypothetical. But you can't judge them because we don't know on that fact alone. What you can do is you can only judge them on the players that we've actually signed.
Yeah.
So these are some of the first signings that we made this summer. So if we look at them, we had Bakuna. Now, I think everyone would agree that he's been a good signing.
Yeah, especially since at the very outset, you know, if you certainly read what the Villa fans were saying, you'd kind of think he's a disaster waiting to happen.
Definitely.
And he's been by far and away probably the best signing that we've had out of the current window.
Definitely. I think Sono Loco's looked all right. I think Barrow has looked good. Edwards has been okay. I think Edwards is, when he's come in, he's actually got better as the season's gone on.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right with Edwards. But again, it's a case of, where are you supposed to play Edwards?
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I agree.
Because Edwards has either come on and filled in for someone in a position that he's not really supposed to. We're not playing to Edwards' strength as such, whatever that may be.
Is he attacking midfielder?
Exactly. Attacking into the box. So Pieces type midfielder. He's not a defensive midfielder like Bakuna is or Vandenberg. But again, it's
better than Evans. I'll say that straight away. He can set up a goal sometimes, and he can score a goal sometimes.
I guess they're two different types, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but I think Evans isn't one type of anything. That's the problem.
But I think, as we certainly said at the start of the season, it was when we looked at Evans, it was like, do something different, George. Do something beyond a 5-yard pass. And then he did a wonderful 30-yard pass for a goal, and you're thinking, why didn't you do that? And then he got forward himself a couple of times and scored, and you think, okay, George can do something else, but then George has disappeared lately.
Yeah, in that cup game, he looked good. He scored a couple of good goals.
Yeah, but they're cup games, aren't they?
So yes. But then we had Pelle Clement, which I think the verdict's definitely out on him.
Yeah.
But that one, that's not a big fee. So you look at that, you have to put the
context. And he was the very first through the door, wasn't he,
Clement? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was. And then Borvason as well, which, I mean, I know he's been injured, but if we paid £3 million for him, I think that's a good deal for Wolves, possibly.
Yeah, I like him. I like him for certainly the effort that he puts in, and he does appear to try. I know that sounds trite, but
Simon Church,
shut up. He does appear to really want to be there. You know, it sounds a bit daft, but I see effort in him.
Yeah, definitely.
But then again, you say, well, Behrens is making an effort.
Yeah, but all those players there, I don't think effort is a problem. I think they've all got the right attitude, all those players.
I don't
have a problem with that. So you look at the character of those players that you signed, and I think they're all solid.
Yeah, I mean, Bakuna was a bit flighty, possibly, because everyone thought he had an attitude.
Hasn't been here, though. You judge not at all. That,
I mean, the Wolves game where I thought he had a bit of a body language thing, I could be just wrong there. But he looked fine last night. Absolutely fine.
But then if you look at that, and then you compare that to... But if you look... So let's talk about that quickly, actually. We look at that now, and there's no striker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is the glaring issue that we all know.
Well, no number one.
But how would we have known that so many of our strikers were going to get injured? I mean, even Mendes would be a good option right now. But we don't even have him. Sam Smith we bring in injured. So this affects how the transfer window looks, and you put it in a different context.
Yeah. But I guess with every club and every transfer window, they've got a list of 10, 15 players that they know they want to target. How many of those they actually get is lap of the gods. As you say before, with the selling club, how much they're willing to sell for, whether the player wants to come or not. The players that we ended up with, we don't know what that starting list was like. We know that Oliveira was up there and being touted. And in the end, we went for Aluko. As we said before, it was either one or the other of those. It was never going to be both. So we don't know the players that we really missed out on. I mean, a lot of those players that we did sign, I don't think there was too much of a whisper of, them coming in the first place.
No, has been targets really, anyway. Wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, yeah, Mannone came out of nowhere. Yeah. Bolvarsson did. Barrow, vaguely.
Vaguely,
yeah. Edwards, yet again, nowhere. Nothing. We came out of nothing, didn't
Edwards
it?
Edwards was late.
So looking at that window now, what would you mark it out of 10?
Ooh, God.
Because you can't just think about now. You've got to think about going forward. Are those players going to be good in the next, season?
I'll upgrade it to a 6 because I think Bakuna, Aluko and Barrow, if anything comes good of this season, it's going to be because of those players. They'll be heavily involved.
Mm.
But Varson, I'm not sure he's going to be in the mix because Stan doesn't really appear to fancy him that much. Clement's a utility player who will perpetually be a sub probably and not really figure any starts unless desperate measures are needed. So Edwards again, is he going to cement a place? At the moment, you don't know. I mean, there was Swift being injured now. He's got more likelihood.
Mm.
But as I say, are we going to play him to his strength of being an attacking midfielder? We don't seem to play with an attacking midfielder who attacks, you know, from deep.
This is the one thing that I noticed in the first game was Swift coming in. You see that so rarely. I think it was the third goal, when he came in and he actually arrived late in the box and scored from another pass.
But that's a rarity, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're extremely rare.
I mean, that had to be a really good ball as well to be incredible played pass. Along the deck from there.
It was incredible. Yeah. Incredible pass. Yeah, I didn't even see the pass. When you see a goal and you think, I didn't even see that coming.
You don't expect it. But that's the type of thing, if we're playing with no striker, then that's the type of ball that you're going to have to put in. And the defence is not going to have to be there. Because I think at that point, I think there was 2 or 3 Forest players in the box, but nowhere near the ball, really. So it wasn't that bad of a chance for Swift. No. But when you're playing against a defence that's got a packed defence, there's 6 or 7 players around the box, that type of ball is nigh on impossible.
It is. Well, I think if you look at just Brian Teverton, I mean, I think on that window now with the hindsight, which is a great thing in life in general, I think you'd probably have to say, I'd be generous and say a 6, 6.5, because I think Aluko is a good signing. Edwards, he's a good signing, but he's not going to get much sell-on value. Mm. Aluko, you probably still could. Yeah. He's still young enough.
Yeah.
Bakuna, you definitely could. Barrow, you could. Mannone, you could. The other ones, I'm not so sure. Mm. So I think that's still a decent enough window. It's not devastating, but I think it's clear that he's doing a good job.
I think we missed out on a few targets, I think, there. But I think one of my worries compared to other clubs like Leeds, like Wolves, who have spent quite a bit of money, is that their scouting seemed to be an awful lot more comprehensive and diverse than ours. We've seemed to go on very safe.
Is that why we got in Rongolo?
Maybe.
Another reason. That's moving on slightly from Brian Teverton.
It's going to be an interesting mix to see how Ron and Brian work for the next window when they've had more time to work with each other and understand what each other's about. I mean, Ron is obviously the face of the Chinese owners now. He's going to have an awful lot of say on what he thinks a decent player is. He's been around for many years. He knows the qualities that we're going to need to propel ourselves up this division. It's whether Brian can then do that groundwork and get those players in tandem with Ron. That's going to be a tricky one. January is going to be a funny one because it's notorious for, you don't get what you necessarily
need. No, every single January window we seem to go in to needing a striker. Virtually all clubs, really, within reason.
And
the thing
interesting.
Is, if that goes, will Brian go?
I'd say so.
Yeah. I don't think it's impossible. So he's starting all over again.
Yeah. But then again, if you do have someone like Ron, Ron will have contacts of who.
I'm not saying we can't get anyone in. If Yap goes, who are we going to get in? I don't think that's a good enough argument.
No, I just mean it's not a be all and end all.
No, it's not at all. It's just possibly set you back again.
Yeah.
But maybe if you're in such a bad position, say if we're 18th come the middle of December, well, you're going to have to get rid of the manager, aren't you?
Do you think we bring in loan players?
You seem loath to, and I'm loath to bring in any loan players, unless you think you're going to sign them.
But that's the thing in January, though, isn't it? You probably get more loans than you do permanent deals.
Well, like with Grabbing last season. Look
at him now.
Well, yeah, but the problem is he would have never really played in that position for Reading.
Yeah, but it just showed he had it in him.
Totally. Oh, yeah, no, 100%. People who were slagging him off saying that Lewis Grabbing can't do this, can't do that after he left. And even Yap saying he wasn't one of our top players, which I can see because I've just said I don't think he would have played in our system.
It was a system, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, I get that because it was the same with Vidra. Vidra was rubbish here as well, and I still think Vidra's a decent enough player. But Grabham will always score goals in this league. Confidence, like you were going back to earlier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Once you get that, I think if you put him in a decent team in the Championship, they get 20 goals.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know, he's just got that knack of scoring, which is quite a nice one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would we like him now? We definitely would, wouldn't we? If you get the system, we'd like
him. Yeah,
yeah. Because Sam Smith did, came in, had some energy.
Yeah.
Helped the team.
All we want is a fit striker.
We just want one that's fit for maybe two whole games. Yeah. Maybe two whole games.
I thought you were going to say 2 months.
No. Let's not be silly now. Let's not get over the top on this one. No. So, how much longer do we think, going back to Yap, how much longer do we think he's got? Before, and the other thing is that we don't know what the owners really think.
No.
What are they really here for? Are they going to actually act like an owner of a football club and then say, we need to get rid of this manager because we could easily go down, and we can't go down. That would be a disaster for us to go down, especially with this team. We're not that bad.
No.
The ones before under McDermott and Clark, you thought, this could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not with this team.
Again, I think as we talked about Ron a few minutes ago, I think it's going to be Ron's call and Chinese will either back him or not, but there's no reason for the Chinese to disregard what Ron says because they don't know
what they're doing, basically.
Per se. They got the money, but they don't know the reality of it.
No.
I think if Yap doesn't get more than one win out the next 3 or 4, he's in very, very deep trouble. But it's time, because if we do get rid of him, we've got to give the new guy, whoever that is, if he's appointed very quickly, enough time to analyse the squad and then get some kind of backing for signings in January. If he doesn't get that, or Brian can't get the players in, then it doesn't matter who the manager is. I don't think you can get this squad to do anything different.
No. Well,
because you can't play 4-4-2 because we haven't got any strikers.
No, we definitely can't do that. We've deliberately not got enough strikers, and if we do, we just injure them.
Yeah, so it's what they define that big fault to be. Is it Yam's? Is it Yap's fault, or is it the injuries that have killed us? If they think it's Yap, then they've got to do what they think is best. Either back him or get rid. If they think it's the injuries, then they keep with Yap and see what happens with the January window.
I suppose some people listening to this might be thinking, actually, the Chinese owners do have some knowledge of football because they've had the Belgian team, but it's a different world.
Not the Championship.
No, it's
not
a different world.
It's the hardest league in the world.
I think the next two games are make or break, Yap. I honestly think if we were to lose both these two games, he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think if you do lose, even if you pick up 1 point in these next two games, that is not good enough.
No.
You can't be good. No. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday are not a bad team, and Barnsley are okay, but you've got to be winning these games. You just can't be talking about, we're going to be doing this, we're going to go for top six, and we're going to be doing... No, we're nowhere near the top six at the moment,
and we're going in the other direction. It'd be nice to get close to the top half.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. At the very outset of the season when we did our predictions, I said eighth, because we wouldn't have enough firepower. So far, I can happily say, I was quite right on that, but I didn't think we'd have... not the right amount of firepower for the reasons why it's turned out.
No.
I thought, that we would have Yan back.
Yes.
We do to a point, but we can't rely on him alone.
No.
And at the moment, we can score goals. It seems we can score 2, 3 and 4 in the last few games.
Yeah, that's one thing
games.
That's definitely improved.
But it's the poorest other end.
Yeah,
and that's
going
to kill us.
But you could look at the positive and say that actually at one point we were doing neither. So now we seem to be able to score, which is quite nice. It's quite nice. So I think I said a while ago that I couldn't give him until December, and we're getting very close to that now. And if you're still at a point a game or less than that, possibly, in December at the beginning of it, you've got to be thinking the sack's coming. You've got to be. For whatever he's done last season, it's all well and good saying that he's had all done with success and everything, but this isn't how it's going to work, really, because players surely start to lose confidence.
Yeah, I think confidence is a massive factor at the moment, in that we can't seem to take it from game to game. The previous successes that we've had don't seem to then carry on.
I just wish we'd play somebody else but Wolves on that game.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because if you get another win...
You're probably right. If we had another win there, yeah. And I think they probably saw, you know, just as well as we did, how good Wolves actually are.
Which is slightly depressing.
And they're going to look at themselves and go, we're not there. We're not near that.
No.
That level, and Wolves have spent all sorts of money, and rightly so, they should be where they are.
Still done it though.
But yeah,
it doesn't matter how much money you've still got to do it. We can't say that we didn't spend any money.
Yeah,
not Wolves level, but we did spend a fair bit of money.
10 plus, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And we kept all the players that we didn't think they were going to keep. Players like Liam Moore.
Yeah,
we were pretty sure he was going to leave.
The other question being, if Moore is a target for another team in January, what's our resolve going to be like there?
Well, Brian, that goes back to him, doesn't it? It's everything. That's what we were talking about earlier. Who knows? Who knows?
Depends what that clause in the contract is, doesn't it?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. I mean, you would assume that if there's a clause there, with previous history from Reading players alone, that is that it will be in the summer that the clause would kick in for a Premier League team, not in the winter. Yeah. That will be some part of the bargaining you would expect.
Yeah.
Unless you get a really, really good offer and he says, no, I want to go. And you get a club that comes in for him, like, say, Southampton or someone, just off the top of my head. You'd say, well, you'd be mad if you were Liam Moore not to want to go there, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
I'm not saying Southampton are going to come for him at all, but that kind of level.
But it could, because Van Dijk could easily go to Liverpool in January and they need one.
I think Liam Moore's really good for the Championship, but I'm not quite sure he's good enough to consistently play in the Premier League. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. He lacks maybe a bit of pace, a bit of height is a vital thing there, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, but then again, all the players that we've got are here with us for a reason.
We have some players that could play in the Premier League, but on a consistent basis. But as you've seen with Huddersfield last season, it doesn't matter with the team that you go up with. You can change it a lot.
And you get
so much confidence from going up.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah.
You know, I know that we went up last time, it was a complete disaster, but it can happen, as we've seen.
But it's the C word again, isn't it? Confidence.
I wonder where you were going with that.
and we don't have it. We don't have it. Even if we think we should have gained some, we lose it very quickly.
Yes, because it's so fragile now, we have no self-belief. Yeah. So moving on to Sheffield Wednesday this Saturday, what do we think? What do we think in that match?
It's a tricky one, because Sheffield should be better than they are, like we should be.
Where are they in the league, actually?
That's a good question. I think they're mid-table-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they are. I'm not quite sure where they are in the league.
But I think they have some funny results, just like we have some funny results.
So they are in 12th with 24 points, and we are in 19th with 19 points. So it's not a massive gap, is it, really?
No.
With home... I mean, with our fortress Medeski this season. you think that, I don't know, I just really hope that we get a win there, because if we don't, the atmosphere is not going to be good and it's going to be even worse for Barnsley. And Barnsley, even though they've only got one more point than us, they're no mugs.
No, they're not whipping boys of the division. No. They're not like...
No way.
Sunderland, you know.
Well, you look at the teams below us, you look at Sunderland, Bolton... And Birmingham. Burton. I mean, Bolton are clearly not very good. That's last night's
Yeah.
Road. Sunderland, they're not very good at all. Burton, they're really struggling this season after last season. They did really well, which I thought was great. But the Sheffield Wednesday, I'm just going to say that we're going to pull it out of the bag. I'm going to say, because I'm always an optimist with this one. I am. I just feel that we're going to win 2-1. I don't care how we do it. I really do not care.
I'd just like to see a win, because I can't remember the last time I actually saw
one. You haven't seen many, have you?
April, I think.
I think
it is April, last time we won at home on a Saturday.
So have you missed all the wins at home then? No.
Probably, yes.
So would it be best if you didn't go? one for the team.
Let's have a vote on Twitter. should I go to the game on Saturday?
I think you should go, Nick. I think you should stay away.
Yeah. All right, fine.
Now, I think we're going to do it. What do you think, then?
I'm going to say not, only because if Jan is out and Swift is out, I don't know where it's going to come from. Okay,
yeah.
Aluko and Barrow could have very good games, but if they're setting up chances, then for who?
You would think that Kelly's going to play, wouldn't you?
He, if he's fit enough, then yes. But then again, we've seen with Bodvarsson and other players, they're on the bench and they're not risked until very late on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure when Liam appeared last time, 60 plus or whatever.
Was it? Yeah.
I mean, he looked fine. He looked in good fettle. It's how we set up with the system that we've got and the players within it. It's a simple thing, but it's how we're going to get those goals, and hopefully not concede anything from set pieces.
So. Well, I'm worried about us conceding in every game. Every single game, it's almost faking that we need two to win.
Yeah. And often we've got to score the first one too.
Yeah, definitely. 100% we have to score the first goal. Yeah. If we don't score the first goal, you can almost feel the whole ground just...
Yeah. Which was why last night was so much of a shock, really.
Yeah, it was.
Not only one goal we were behind, we were two, and we still managed to pull it back, even though I didn't think we... You know, anyone can say that we played well at all. I think on the official site they said we played them off the park. And I thought, okay, we had a lot of possession, but doesn't necessarily mean you're playing them off the park.
Well, this is why you need unbiased reporting by the local press, because that's clearly not true, is it?
And here we are.
Yeah. Well, sadly, I don't think we're in the local press quite yet.
Maybe for the wrong reason.
I wouldn't mind the wages, but the good thing about last night is that neither Karachan or Lafondra scored.
No, because I did see Alf go on, I thought,
The Love Fest would have been unbearable, wouldn't it?
It would have been awful.
It would have been, bring him back. Get him in January.
Yeah, it would be. I'm sure there would have still been some
pound bidding for Lafondra. No. We joke, but you know it would have been like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, there'll be some that will love it.
Yeah, oh, I love you. Yeah, very good for Reading, but got to remember, he saved us from administration, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, bless him. I mean, he had to sign for Cardiff. I mean, he took a hit.
Unlucky.
Yeah. So, thanks a lot for listening. And hope you enjoyed it. And let us know by the Twitter site. And see you next time then. Bye.
Cheers.